Liz Cheney is out, at least as a member of Congress this upcoming term. She was walloped in her primary Tuesday. So what is Cheney's future? And what does her fate tell us about the Republican Party today?
We'll talk about it now in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Sahil Kapoor is with us. He's senior national political reporter at NBC News. Hi, Sahil.
Hi, great to join you.
And Kay Anderson joins us as well. She's news director of Radio Iowa. Hi, Kay.
Hello.
Let's begin with the classified documents that were found at Donald Trump's home. A federal judge has given the Justice Department 1 week to send redactions and then release the affidavit that was used to obtain the search warrant. And that means parts of that affidavit could get out. And I wonder, Sahil, since just the release of the search warrant gave rise to some divisive rhetoric, even threats on the FBI, what do you think might be the impact of the affidavit on the political landscape?
Well, a few things. This entire episode has dramatically raised the political temperature in Washington. It has solidified Donald Trump's hold over the Republican Party. You see, many Republican candidates, many conservatives rushing to his defense and kind of portraying him as a victim of an out-of-control Justice Department, who, from all of our reporting, from everything we've seen, is doing this entire thing by the book. There is no evidence of a political motivation or specific, you know, kind of political targeting of Donald Trump, as his allies say. But nevertheless, it has elevated Trump and his image within the Republican Party. There are a lot of base voters who feel protective of him, and more so now. And of course, it is shaping, reshaping, I should say, the 2022 political landscape, because for Democrats and independents who don't like Donald Trump, it reminds them that he's still out there, he's still at large, he's still dominating the Republican Party, and it seems to be affecting at least some of these voters in terms of, you know, their level of motivation to show up at the ballot box this fall.
And Kay, what about voters in Iowa? How is this saga, the FBI search of Donald Trump's home, coloring the GOP conversation in Iowa?
Well, at the middle of last week, I was covering an Iowa GOP fundraiser in Des Moines, and the opening prayer mentioned the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago. The Republican National Committee chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, was the keynote speaker, and she didn't call it a search. She did not use the word that former President Trump has used, calling it a raid. She called it an invasion. And it was a motivating moment for people in that room, the Republican Party people who were willing to pay big dollars to attend a fundraiser responded to those messages. And also, for people who aren't familiar with Iowa Republican Party politics, our governor is a Republican, both U.S. senators are Republicans, and three of the four members of the U.S. House representing Iowa are Republicans. To a person, they have all called for more disclosure and more transparency from the FBI. So it's a unified message from Iowa Republicans.
Also this week, conservative Wyoming Republican Liz Cheney lost her primary, so she will be out of her House seat in January. And she gave a kind of non-concession speech on Tuesday night. Let's listen.
2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the vote. I could easily have done the same again. The path was clear. But it would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election. It would have required that I enable his ongoing efforts to unravel our democratic system and attack the foundations of our republic. That was a path I could not and would not take.
So hours after that, Cheney started a new political group, might take a run for president. She has millions in the bank from fundraising, still on the House committee investigating January 6th. Sahil, what is her political future?
Right, that was Liz Cheney conceding her House race, but certainly not conceding her political career. It seems that Liz Cheney's political future, at least for the foreseeable coming months and years, is going to be to try to stop Donald Trump from ever becoming president again. That is not going to be an easy task, obviously, and she recognizes that. But, you know, there's very little that she has in common with, for instance, the Democrats that she serves on the January 6th committee with, but they emphatically all agree that Donald Trump is a threat to the American system of government, to the perseverance of American democracy, and she seems to have made it her number one mission to try to stop him from coming near the levers of power again. Now, what form that could take is far from clear. From what I gather, Liz Cheney still has to evaluate, you know, what the best way to do that would be. There's some talk about her potentially running for president in 2024. She has kept the door open to that, but there remains a question as to whether, you know, if it's a Biden versus Trump rematch, whether she would siphon more votes from Trump, or whether it's certainly plausible that she could siphon more votes away from Joe Biden and counteract her own goal. Beyond that, she is a prolific fundraiser. She will have access to enormous sums of money that she could use strategically to advance her goal. That's my way of saying that chapter of Liz Cheney's, you know, future has yet to be written, the next chapter, but I suspect this is not the last we'll have heard of her.
Kay, what kind of impact do you think Cheney might be able to have in a Republican primary? You've laid out the politics, at least in Iowa right now. We also know that Liz Cheney has attracted a fair amount of fundraising from non-Republicans. So is her future inside the party, or perhaps not so much?
Well, her path has not yet brought her to Iowa, but I think there are many people who expect her to at least make some inroads here in the early part of next year after her term is up. Now, she would be competing for what might be considered the anti-Trump vote among Republican caucus goers in 2024. And that group of people is already occupied by people like former Vice President Mike Pence, who, as we speak right now, is campaigning in Iowa at the Iowa State Fair with Senator Chuck Grassley. Chris Christie was here last week. He is already saying that he's very open about considering another run for the White House and talking about a very different way of approaching voters in sort of a post-Trump way, as is the Maryland governor, Larry Hogan, who was here last week campaigning as well. So there's a number of people she would have to compete with were she to throw her hat in the ring to compete for the Republican presidential nomination. And the latest reporting we have in Iowa, I mean, latest polling, rather, that we have in Iowa by the Des Moines Register's Iowa poll was conducted well before the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago, but it indicated that Trump is the favorite in Iowa among Republicans were he to run again.
Speaking of Iowa in 2024, you mentioned that current Maryland governor Larry Hogan has been there. He said he wants Republicans to start looking to the future and stop relitigating 2020. Sahil, how much support would there be for him in a place like Iowa?
I think Larry Hogan would have a tough time convincing most Republican voters to look past Trump. I think any you know, honest look at the data we've seen so far nationwide as well as state by state shows Donald Trump in a dominant position among Republican core voters for the presidential nomination in 2024. So there's the never Trump vote, which I guess you could put Larry Hogan in that category. That's pretty small. And then there's another kind of, you know, undecided maybe, but sympathetic to Trump vote that he would have a pretty good claim on. It would be very difficult for someone like him or someone like Chris Christie, certainly someone like Liz Cheney would have, I can comfortably say would have no shot at the Republican nomination in 2024. Bottom line is, this was true before the Mar-a-Lago search. It's true now after the Mar-a-Lago search. Trump still has a very firm grip on the Republican Party, and it remains to be seen whether anybody can dislodge that.
Okay, we have a little bit of time left to talk about the midterms. The Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he spoke yesterday, and he actually downplayed expectations Republicans will win back the Senate in November. Let's take a listen.
There's probably a greater likelihood the House flips than the Senate. Senate races are just different. They're statewide. Candidate quality has a lot to do with the outcome.
Now, historically, the party, as we know, not in power, gains in the midterms. Kay, could this year be different?
Well, I'll just talk about this from the perspective of Iowa. Senator Chuck Grassley, who's been in the Senate since 1981, is seeking re-election. He is 88 years old. Polling from the Des Moines Register in July suggested he was about at 50% support among all likely voters. He's one of the most popular Republicans in Iowa history. He is facing a candidate that Democratic voters nominated here who's had a surprising level of success in raising money. This race in Iowa has not risen to, you know, compare with the race, obviously, in Pennsylvania or Ohio. Mm-hmm. But if the terrain changes, you know, there could be investment in the Iowa race.
Sayo, we only have about 30 seconds left, but what do you think? Would you agree with Mitch McConnell that the Democrats may keep the Senate and lose the House?
I think it's certainly plausible. McConnell is giving voice to what a number of Republican strategists in the party have worried about, you know, for a while now, which is that subpar candidates like Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania, J.D. Vance in Ohio, could potentially cost Republicans opportunities and keep the Senate in
Democratic
hands.
That's Sahil Kapoor of NBC News and Kay Anderson, News Director of Radio Iowa. Thank you.